Better turn it off.
E B F N.
What? Oh.
Oh yeah, Buenos just put out chips. It's the Evidence-Based Fiction Network Radio.
This is Dr. Dan Farnell talking to you about creating health and creating your own health and creating your own health care. And my voice has cleared up a little bit. I've been drinking that translucent screaming burdock root seed. And that's helped my voice quite a bit, as you can hear from that song. At the beginning, I used to have some trouble, but that stuff you boil into kind of a tincture. How do you say it? One of those two ways. Look it up in the dictionary. They'll tell you how to say it. Today we have a very unique show. You're not supposed to say very unique, but this show is truly very, very unique. And the topic is male lactation in the veterinary setting. I have gotten endless emails and texts over the last, even 4 or 5 years on this topic, male lactation in the veterinary setting. It's all, if you're not familiar with the topic, although I don't know how you couldn't be, it's all over everything you read. But a lot of men are wondering, I shouldn't even say a lot, I should say all, virtually all men are wondering, they're not wondering one thing. Virtually all men are wondering, they're not wondering anything. They have questions about male lactation in the veterinary setting. How do they, to put it another way, how do men breastfeed their animals? And if you will know, if you've ever been, take a litter of cats and take the runt of the litter, and the mom didn't want him, and you knew that it was okay. Well, she left this little guy behind, and you feel pretty bad for him, so you pick him up, you scoop him up in a handkerchief, and you bring him in your house. And next thing you know, you realize after a couple days go by and he's not as feisty as it used to be, that he needs milk. And as does every animal in the animal kingdom. So, men, how do we do it? What is the best way to breastfeed any type of animal? The cat scenario is a common one, just to bring people into the topic, but what is the best way to do it? And let's just go right to some of our questions here. Here's one from Larry in just outside of Cincinnati. And he's written us, it's a text. It's kind of hard to read his writing, but I'm going to see it here. He says it's something about latching on. Okay, that's a huge problem. I know it's a problem for women and human babies. It's even, if you can imagine, it's even a bigger problem for men and animals, be they wild animals or domestic. Larry in Cincinnati, thanks for writing in. Try to text a little more legibly next time. But basically, I guess I've had a big range of experiences with latching on, all the way from, let's say, I would say a great deal of difficulty with, say, a porpoise or what were some of the other difficult, a baby elephant. Very difficult. I've had incredible success with reptiles, especially snakes with fairly large fangs. They can latch on, and believe me, they're going to get the milk because they do not give up. Larry, if you're having trouble with this business about latching on, with and Larry didn't write about what animals he's dealing with in his veterinary setting, but I would say, Larry, start with some of the easy ones. Mosquitoes, termites, they all latch on very well. And they, I'm blinking, then they get the milk. Snakes are another one. As I said, you know, with the ones with especially extra long, real sharp fangs, they'll latch on and they're good to go. Wood ticks, another one. Maybe if you've ever seen a possum, they have extremely large, long front teeth. Another good. These are all just, Larry, these are all just starting points. I'm not saying you're limited to your life of breastfeeding animals. You're limited to these animals. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, and I hope the listeners get this straight, I don't want to get any hate mail because this is a hot topic. And I know people have strong feelings one way or the other. Some people say, do it this way, left side, right side, where the animal sits. Should the mosquito be lured in or should he be kind of held there firmly? All these are debated. I'm going to say debated, but let's be honest. It's an argument with some of these people. My point is, Larry, I don't want those people calling in. So I'm not saying limit yourself to mosquitoes, termites, snakes, possums. If the saber-toothed tiger, I better take some of that flaming burdock root before my voice starts to give out again. Oh, yeah. And the saber-toothed tiger, if they had not gone extinct, I would think with that long, those long front teeth, they could just hook in and you'd be set. I would think, and I've never done much with saltwater fish in terms of breastfeeding. But I would imagine the piranha also would latch on terrifically well. You may have to be underwater, so keep that in mind. And actually, I'm not even sure if they're saltwater animals or not. But anyway, Larry, a couple ideas for you to start with. Start easy, then work into the more difficult animals. Large game, elk, they can be tough. They're just so big is what makes it difficult for even when they're born, they're big. Beetles, they're tough. Squirrels, they're just hard to catch in the first place, let alone hold them still while you latch on. But you get the idea. Start easy. Termite, maybe think of it like this. Let's see. Poisonous snake, mosquito, wood tick, cat is always a good go-to, I think. And then kind of whatever type of veterinary nursing you are thinking of going into. Okay. So thanks, Larry. Let's look at another. This guy wrote an email, and it's Dale from Northern Minnesota. Thanks, Dale. He didn't say where. He just said Northern Minnesota. Like it's all one big. I doubt he lives in the entirety of Northern Minnesota. And I'm guessing, I'm not going to read his question yet. I'm guessing he's wondering about, given the locale, he's wondering about moose, bear, fox, maybe even, animals that might come over from Canada. Canadian geese, probably. I know they come from Canada. And the email from Dale says this. I find I have trouble with the quantity of milk production. It's almost non-existent. Or possibly, I might have to just be honest and say it is non-existent. Any suggestions? All right. Well, this is another one of these hot button topics. And let's just say I don't want to step on any feathers in this answer. But I am going to recommend some of these, what do you call them? You know, lactation for men. Devices, and they attach, and they're made by let's see, I know Makita makes one, and DeWalt, they make one as part of their 18 volt portable tool series. So you can just snap the wherever you are, you know, and if you run out of power, you just take that 18 volt battery, you just snap it out, snap in a new one, and you're set to go. Some of them, you know, if you're a first-time user, some of these are kind of surprisingly powerful. Like I said, I wouldn't start with the Makita. They make one. I have used it. It's an excellent product. And it will produce, from the average male, and remember, we're talking just average male, a lactation pump made by Makita. It will produce a gallon in 30 seconds. So that's a powerful tool. You run that bad boy for 30, 40 minutes, and you've got enough milk to feed the San Diego Zoo. And so again, is this, but Dale, let's get back to your kind of the, what should I say? Kind of the unspoken part of your question. Which is, does this really count as male veterinary breastfeeding or veterinary nursing, as we call it? Well, there's a lot of debate on that. You know, you still have to take the milk, and then you generally put it in a bottle. I suppose, I've never thought of this before, but there are some hardcore people who say, get out your Makita, run it for 30, 40 minutes, get a couple hundred gallons of milk, and then you start drinking that milk, relactate it. They call this relactation. Relactate it to the, again, I'm assuming Northern Minnesota, Dale, I'm assuming bears and moose primarily up there. Probably mosquitoes, but they're, again, I don't know, Dale, if you were listening earlier, but they're not going to be a problem. It's the bears and the moose that are the big problem. Big drinkers, those guys. Okay. Dale, I hope that's helpful. And Dale, I'm not pushing any one of these products. I don't take endorsements. They're all good products. Stanley's a piece of junk. Don't do it. But even for a beginner, I don't like people starting out with Stanley. So the rest of them, though, you know, go ahead. Okay, thanks for writing in, Dale. We're going to take a little break here and get back to you. I have to take my soothing burdock, translucent burdock root seeds, and we will get back to you with a few more questions. Okay, back on the farm, as they say in the olden days. Dan Farnell, Dr. Dan Farnell, here with my new improved voice, thanks to my translucent, flaming, fermented burdock root seeds. And we're here taking questions from listeners on the topic of veterinary nursing, a.k.a. male lactation in the veterinary setting. Let's go to Kent in out in Nevada. Probably lives out in the desert or something. Who knows what goes on out there. Kent writes in on an email, and he asks us this. Positioning, question mark. And I'm flipping his email over, looking at the backside, and I don't see any positioning. And I think, Kent, what you're getting at is, you know, different positions can maximize the male veterinary breastfeeding experience. Let's talk about that. Instead of, you can't really talk about this topic in general. You have to have a specific bird in mind. Let's start with the pileated woodpecker. Tough, tough animal for most men to breastfeed. The chance of a male mastitis is very high with when you're breastfeeding a woodpecker, pileated especially. But you know, those babies, they need to eat. So you can't I mean, what are you gonna do? Wait for a brighter day, quote unquote. Kent, let's start with a woodpecker. I would take a heavy branch and I would hold it between your hands like you're riding a, like you're riding a 10-speed bike. It's a branch. You're going to be holding it out in front of you. And set the baby pileated woodpecker on the branch and aim him toward yourself. If he's too far away, he's going to really come at you hard and you're going to feel it. And that mastitis is going to set in. And then you're down the bottle feeding road. Then you got to buy a Makita or a one of those DeWalts that we were talking about earlier and go with the bottle feeding. But if you can get that distance, just maximum assistance. No, I didn't mean that. I meant minimum assistance. So he's just positioned right. Perfect. Sweet spot. That's the word I'm trying to think of. Sweet spot. You got to find the sweet spot for that baby woodpecker. Pull those bicycle handles closer to you. Bam, bam. He's hitting it. He's hitting it. He's getting plenty of milk. He's nutritionized and he is ready to go. 15 or 20 minutes of that and he's going to be your best friend. And when he gets older, he is going to be one happy woodpecker that you saved him. Let's talk about positioning for some other more difficult animals. Let's say the a bat. That's a tough one. They're hanging upside down. First of all, positioning is one thing. You got to feed them in the middle of the night. There's one thing. They hang by their feet. You're going to need a similar setup to the woodpecker. Smaller branch, hold it up a little higher, and kind of swing the bat back and forth. And he'll wake up pretty soon, latch on, and I don't think you'll have any problem there. Again, holding the branch like that. It'll have to be higher because he'll be upside down. Smaller branch. Again, no problem with positioning there. Here's one a lot of people find tough. Are these large angleworms. This is a tough one because they don't come out of the ground. They don't want to come out of the ground. That's where they live. And you see them where they live. That's the rule number one, I would say, of male veterinary lactation is see them where they live. You don't want to yank them into some clinical sterile setting. It's just not what's good for them. So these worms, some of these large worms, well, even the small ones and centipedes and I would say a lot of beetles too, a lot of this underground, these underground types of animals, they can be very tough from a positioning point of view. I would say get out a auger, maybe 3/4 inch auger, drill a hole and go down about, go down about a foot. And then you're going to need to lie face down, positioning yourself into that hole, and those centipedes and worms, at that point, they'll come to you. You don't even have to worry about it. You're latched on to the earth. They'll come up, latch on to you. You'll start, your milk will let down, I think. I haven't done this one. I've got to admit it, but this makes a lot of sense. Your milk will let down, and guys, you're going to be seeing a lot of happy worms and centipedes in that part of your backyard, or if you're out in the woods, or if you're camping, whatever. Wherever they are, remember, see them where they are. That's Kent, I hope that was helpful. I wonder if I could give you something more specific to the desert region, but I can't. I don't know that region all that well. Okay, I hope that was helpful. Let's take another short little break here, and then we'll get back to you with some more letters. Okay, Dr. Dan Farnell. Again, brand new voice. Listen to it. How good does that sound? Flaming burdock root seeds. I'll take another swig. Okay, I've got a card here from a Martina in Kentucky. And she, yeah, it's a guys, it's a woman writing in, so we don't know where this is going to go. She writes in, Martina says, men can't produce milk. What is this show really about? Okay, interesting. Martina, I appreciate you writing in. I want to really stay focused here. I don't want to get sidetracked. And so let's put that question on hold for a different Dr. Dan Farnell episode. We'll get to it in 6 or 7 years. We're pretty booked up for now, but let's put that one on hold. I feel like it's kind of to be honest, and I don't want you to write in with hate mail, but you know, it's kind of a what do they call it when you go in the wrong direction? Not a diversion, but a distraction. That's what I'm trying to think of. That's kind of a distraction from what we're the topic we're really trying to get at. So okay, and I deleted it, but I'm sure it's in the cloud somewhere, archives. You know, they do all that. The guys at night do it. I don't know where the email goes, but somewhere. Okay. Next email. This is actually a letter, a handwritten letter. Don't get those too often. It's clear as a bell. Perfect handwriting. Beautiful handwriting. And I know this guy's older because his handwriting is so good. And people these days don't have very good handwriting, I've noticed. So here it is. He asks, he's asking about age, sort of age-related question. So William from down in Texas, he writes, what's the age range for men to produce milk, enough milk, to sustain animals during male breastfeeding. Okay, it's actually, there's a lot of misinformation on this topic. I can tell you that, William. Or Bill. I can't believe he's from Texas and would go by William. I just don't think that's, I hope this isn't a hoax. Because that sound, this is starting to, first of all, the letter was handwritten. And William from Texas. I don't, well, maybe. Yeah, and then you'd have a name in quotes in the middle. Then you could be William. But anyway, age. This is a hot topic also. A lot of misinformation about this topic. The age is actually, you need to be past puberty, 18. You have to be legal age also. And then up to retirement age. And that's the full legal range for male veterinary breastfeeding. And that's by statute. So you can look it up in any law school library, and there'll be the law, plain as day, right on the books. Legal age, 18, to retirement age, 65. If they drop that retirement age down to 62, there might be some guys, 62, 63, 64, in that range, they might be in some legal trouble, I'm thinking. But let's see if that happens. I know you can retire at 62 now, but, you know, no one can afford it. So it's kind of a moot point. But the law is very clear on the male veterinary lactation rules. Okay. Thanks, William or Bill. Or if this was a hoax, I hope you enjoyed the answer to your hoax question. Okay, we are out of time. I'm surprised how fast this time goes. There's so much more we could get into on this topic of male veterinary lactation. Lots of guys out there want to breastfeed their animals. They're loaded up with milk. And lots of questions about, boy, we could go on, this show could go on for days, really. It's such a misunderstood topic. But we'll get back to it next time with Dr. Dan Farnell.
Sorry. Shut up.
EBFN Radio is written and produced by Eric Belgum. www.ebfn.org.